This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this morning we are talking to Mitzi Loftus, author of From Thorns to Blossoms, A Japanese-American Family in War and Peace. She's going to be speaking at the Roseburg Public Library tonight. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
So tell folks a little bit about your story. You were in Hood River growing up, and then what happened?
Well, my father is an immigrant from Japan. In 1904, he was 24 years old, and there are eight siblings. My father delivered seven of the eight babies, but he couldn't deal with me, so he had to hitch up the horse and wagon, go to town 5 miles there and back. Fortunately, my mother and I were still alive, and I'm still here, but I'm the last of the eight siblings. And I grew up on a fruit orchard. I went to Hood River High School and left there in 1950 when I graduated from high school.
So in 1942, President Roosevelt had an executive order that really impacted your family. Talk about that.
Yes. We were incarcerated for 3 years. I was about 10 years old at the time, and there were seven of my family who were sent off. We didn't know where or how long. We were put on trains with soldiers guarding each entrance with a gun, and we were told to pull the blinds and not look out. We had no idea where we were going, how long it would take. So for 3 years, I was incarcerated, and then I got to go back home in 1945 before the war was over. And during that time, all of my brothers eventually served in the U.S. Army while the rest of us were locked up.
Wow. So where did you guys stay? Where was this camp located?
The first one was a temporary place called an assembly center in Pinedale, California, which is basically now Fresno. Then we were moved to Tule Lake, which is just south of the Oregon border, south of Klamath Falls. And then from there, we were sent to Heart Mountain, Wyoming. And from there, we were released and went home to Hood River in 1945, April of 1945.
So what was life like in that camp? Were you able to still... I mean, did you still have school, or?
I was a young girl, just so happy to be where a lot of young playmates my age were. So I was a happy person. If you talk to my sister, who's 9 years older, she had just graduated from high school. She had no future prospects of college or job, couldn't get out or locked up. So she would tell a very bleak story. I had a happy life in the camp. It was after I returned to Hood River that I had a shock because my playmates, my classmates from before, didn't know me. They would walk with me, talk to me, and I couldn't date, so I wasn't able to go any of the high school dances or anything. I never had a date until my first year of college.
So was the attitude then, had things changed as to how other folks looked at Japanese Americans?
Thank heavens it did, but it took many, many years. I was a senior at the University of Oregon in 1954 when I got a call saying that the Rotary Club had nominated me to compete for a fellowship to study abroad. They knew I wanted to go to France. And I was shocked, and I found out it was because the person who was in charge of the nominations was the new superintendent of schools. He didn't know anything about what the discrimination that took place, and so he nominated me, and nobody else would vote against me because they'd have to give a reason why.
Wow. So where did you end up going then?
Pardon me?
Where did you end up going on this fellowship?
Oh, I didn't go because I didn't get it. I was beat out by a young man who was going to Linfield College. And a judge on that committee told my neighbor that he said he voted for me and that I should have received it, but I was discriminated against because I was a girl and because I was Japanese American.
Now, later, though, you did get a Fulbright grant?
Well, that was after I graduated and taught school for 3 years. I taught at Crestwell High School, south of Eugene, and then I had applied for Fulbright grant to teach abroad, and it ended up that I went to Japan to teach English, which was not my first choice, but that's a long story.
Now, had you been in Japan before?
Well, only once when I was 2, 3, or 4 years old with my mother back in the 1930s.
So this was really, what was that experience like for you?
Well, it'd be like you or any other American going to a strange country for the first time.
Wow. So you taught. Now, were you then a teacher for the rest of your career?
Well, no, just for that year. And then I came back and began teaching in Oregon for the following 30-some years, I guess.
So where all did you teach at?
Well, I taught in Eugene first, and then we took our three boys and went to Europe for 2 years since 1969. And when I returned from there, we moved to Coos Bay. So I taught in Coos Bay, North Bend, all of those schools around there, because in addition to full-time teaching for a couple years, I was a substitute teacher for probably 30-plus years.
Wow. So when did you write the book?
I wrote original book in the 1990s, so actually about 35 years ago, I wrote a memoir, self-published, mainly for my family. And my son said the World War II part of the history is so important, it's going to get lost with that book. So can we work it over and get a publisher? So I said, sure. So my oldest son worked with me on this book, From Thorns to Blossoms, and Oregon State University published it in 2024.
Wow. And so you're going to tell more of your story tonight at the library.
Exactly. 146 years of my family's life.
Wow. Now when you retired, what age were you when you retired?
Well, I tried to retire when I was 65, but my husband was killed by a drunk driver in a year or so before that, and so I had to keep working while the case went through the courts. So I actually had to wait until I was 67 or 68.
And what have you been doing in retirement?
I love music. I love the theater. So I moved to Ashland because I've been going to the Shakespeare Festival since the 1960s and decided I'd rather walk to the theater than to drive to Ashland. So I've been in Ashland for 20 years.
Wow. Well, it sounds like an opportunity for people to learn a lot about history if they come tonight.
I hope so. That's my whole purpose, is to educate.
And now, did you drive up here this morning?
Pardon?
Did you drive up here this morning?
No, I decided since I'd have to leave in the middle of the night to come from Ashland, I drove up halfway and spent the night south of here so I could be sure to find your place and be here on time.
Wow. Well, it is certainly for people that are younger, probably a lot to learn about World War II, because for a lot of younger people, they don't know anybody connected to it, and this would be a great opportunity for folks to take their kids or even people in their 20s and 30s to come hear you tonight.
Let me tell you, it's the people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who don't know and are shocked at my story. And in fact, when I first used to talk, somebody used to come up and say, Mitzi, those things you said are lies. Those things never happened. Because of that, I have kept talking and kept writing.
Wow. Now, have you written other things as well?
What?
Have you written any other books as well?
Oh, no.
But you like writing?
Well, no, writing is, I'm just telling a story. I'm not a writer, I'm a storyteller, and I'm telling the story of my family.
It sounds like well worth hearing tonight. The book is called From Thorns to Blossoms, A Japanese-American Family in War and Peace. And Mitzi Loftus, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
And again, speaking at the Roseburg Public Library tonight, that'll be at 6:30, 8:41 at the Morning Report.